It's like where we live right now, behind our house is about a 40, 50-acre plot of woods. And beyond that's another neighborhood, but I don't know those folks. Probably for their benefit. But my next-door neighbor on the other side, Luke, he puts a game camera out in the woods behind our house, and he takes pictures of the deer and elk and bear that walk by, and then he posts it on his Facebook page. Well, one night, I got an idea. I thought it'd be funny if I got a Bigfoot outfit. Come on, that's genius. I'd get that Bigfoot outfit and walk in front of his game camera like, just to be there when he's going through his pictures. He goes, yeah, that's an elk, that's a bear, there's Bigfoot, there's, oh my God. Well, what we've learned here tonight is that when I get an idea, I don't really think it through. I just kind of roll with it. So I went into town, went to the costume shop, but they did not have a Bigfoot outfit. I know. But they did have a movie quality Batman outfit. And I remember thinking, that is a gift from God right there. How much funnier would that be? He's flipping through his pictures and there's Batman? Hell yes. And this thing was awesome. It had the cape, the mask, the little eyepieces, the shorts, the tool belt, the tights, the boots, everything. Gloves. And so I wanted to do it at night. So the picture was kind of grainy, so he couldn't really see it was me. Last June, I'm sitting in my den, 6 o'clock in the evening, dressed as Batman. And Gail walked by. And I could tell by the look on her face, she did not comprehend what was about to go down. And she said, are you going to tell me? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. I said, you know how Luke puts that game camera in the woods behind the house? She goes, yeah. I go, I thought it'd be funny if I got a Bigfoot outfit. And she goes, Bill, no. And I go, I went to town. They did not have a Bigfoot outfit. She goes, thank God. I said, but they had this bitchy Batman outfit. And I remember thinking, how much funny would that be? He's flipping to his pictures and there's Batman. Yeah, that's going to be funny. She goes, Bill, no. I go, listen, I know funny. It's my job. On a funny scale, 1 to 10, 30. She goes, I can't talk you out of this, can I? I go, nope. She goes, okay. She goes, but wait a minute. It's only 6. It don't get dark for a couple hours. Why are you dressed like Batman now? I said, good question. And I think this is a good opportunity for us to be honest. Who has not wanted to have sex with Batman? And she goes, okay, not only no, but hell no. I said, why not? And she goes, I'll be happy to tell you why not. She said, let's say we do this. And I kind of get into it. She goes, where does it stop? I said, I don't follow you. She goes, yes, you do. Because if I say yes to this, you'll be out there buying Green Lantern outfits. You'll be buying Spider-Man outfits. You're going to want me dressed like Catwoman. And the whole time I'm sitting there thinking, I ain't really heard a reason not to yet. Well, that didn't happen. Well, it gets dark and I book it out in the woods. Well, I get out in the middle of these pitch black woods and the thought occurs to me, I don't really know where Luke's game camera is. So now I'm just a grown man dressed like Batman in the woods in the middle of the night. This is a news story waiting to happen. Well, you know when you get out in the woods and it's dark and you start hearing things and your mind starts playing tricks on you? I start flipping out. I'm like, oh, my God, Bill, this is bad, 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 bad. What if you get killed by a mountain lion? What if a pack of wolves tears you in half? How are they going to tell your kids? Hey, kids. I'm sorry, children. I don't mean to laugh. This is sad. I'm just going to say it. We found your dad dead in the woods. We've ruled out suicide. We don't think it was a hunting accident. But here's the weird part. He was dressed like Batman. And I can hear both my kids going, no, that ain't weird. Did he tell you about the silk blue panties he had to wear? Well, thank goodness, in the middle of all this panic, I remembered when I was in the Boy Scouts, they taught us, if you're ever lost in the woods, to just stop. Pick a point, walk in a straight line. You'll hit a fence or a road or something. Don't wander. That's when people get really lost. So I stopped, I picked a point, and I started walking. And by golly, the Boy Scouts was right. I popped out of those woods. But now, I'm in a neighborhood I've never seen before. And every house is dark but one. I walk up to this fellow's back door. He opens the door. I said, look, man, I'm not crazy. I'm not a psycho. He goes, no. You're just a grown man dressed like Batman in my back door in the middle of the night. I said, look, buddy, my neighbor puts a game camera out in those woods, and I thought it'd be funny if I got a Bigfoot outfit and walked in front of that camera. But I went to town. They didn't have that Bigfoot outfit, but they had this bitchin' Batman outfit. And I remember thinking, how funny would that be? That's way funnier. And, you know, and then I got out in the woods, and I realized I didn't know where his game camera was, and I started freaking out because I thought I was going to get killed by a mountain lion or a pack of wolves, and how are they going to tell my kids and my wife? And speaking of my wife, sir, if she just had sex with me as Batman, none of this would have happened. I'd be sound asleep in our bed right now, but apparently she's got some kind of hang-up about making love to a superhero. Whatever. And then I remembered the Boy Scout said, walk in a straight line, and I did, and boom, I'm at your back door. And he goes, makes sense. He said, what do you need from me? And I said, could I just use your phone to call my wife? He goes, if you're brave enough.
My wife likes to fight in public. That's her little move. And I'm starting to know. And she's like, hey, let's go to the county fair. Nope, there's people there. You want to argue with me? Why would you want to go to the county fair unless you're going to want to bring up a fight with me? So she likes to freak out in public because I think other women come up behind me and look at her and are like, right? And one time she was kind of freaking out and I heard this young guy go, I wouldn't put up with that bullshit. Ha ha, young guys, you don't even know. But you know what? I am glad my wife freaks out at me because here's the deal. She freaks out. When her head hits the pillow, she yelled at me for everything that day. And the next day, I'll piss her off on a whole bunch of new shit. Fellas, if you're with a woman now that you've never seen freak out, let me tell you something. The quiet ones are the ones that kill you when you're sleeping. There has been a pillow over your head one or two nights, and luckily she talked herself out of it. And if you don't believe me, watch the news. Every couple months, it's the same weird story. It's the same husband-wife team go on a cruise, only the wife comes back. That happens a lot. It's always the same wife being interviewed on CNN. I don't know what happened. We were just playing shuffleboard, and he never came back to the cabin. It's a nice day, isn't it? No way I would ever take a cruise with my wife, ever. And if we did, and we're on the deck, and she's like, come look at the water, I'd be like, okay. And then I'll tether myself to something. Looks good, I don't need to get closer than that. Be in bed with her with my life jacket and that blinky thing. You taking that off? No, not till I see my return ticket, thank you very much. Tell you this little story. Lying in bed with my wife recently, right? Lying in bed with her. I'm facing her. That's my foreplay. Yeah, that was on the review. Here's my move right here. Want to see it? I'm so lazy, I don't even take my head off the pillow. I'm just like... Wonder if I can do it with her and keep my head on the pillow the whole time. Man, that would be awesome if I could do that. And then she's like usually reading a magazine, and then I got this other move where I just start hipping into her, you know? I just kind of... And then she usually just keeps reading, you know? Why doesn't Brittany just move out of... I don't know. So, real quick question for you. My penis stabbing the side of your leg isn't doing anything for you? Because I've been working it now for the last 20 minutes, man. I've been kind of hitting your lower hamstring, nothing that's not getting you crazy at all. Well, I gotta tell you what, to be honest, I'm almost done. If you could face that way, it's gonna make me feel a lot less uncomfortable. While I'm doing that, I hear her do this. I hear her go. Now, I have learned nothing good is about to happen when I hear that little, right? So I got this little move. Don't tell her, but here's the deal. I know that means she wants to talk. So I got this little thing where I immediately turn over and pretend to be asleep, like within seconds. And here's my little sleep move. I turn over and I slow down my breathing. Then I just do, watch it now, I just do just a little twitch, just a little one. Okay. Don't oversell it, fellas, and check it, kid. It can be all hell. Just all you need is a little twitch, right? And if she asks you while you're sleeping, don't say yes and giggle. Because here's the deal. I know my wife wants to talk, and I'm trying to go to sleep, and here's the deal. I love her to death, but I got to say, how do I say this? Because she'll see this. Her stories are a bit lengthy. She tends to think things belong in the story that I don't think need to belong in there. My wife can turn a 2-minute conversation with the cable guy into a Harry Potter book. And, you know, are they fixing it on Wednesday or not? Why are you still telling me a story? Although I'm impressed, though. I'm impressed, ladies, with the amount of information you can throw in a story. It's impressive. But where I am as impressed, the amount of info you put in a story, ladies, you are equally surprised the fact that one man can speak to another man and get little to no information. That's why your guy can come back from a weekend with a bunch of guys and go, hey, Steve's getting it divorced. Really? Why? I don't know.
Don't drink too much in the morning when you're trying to send 5 kids to school, folks. Shit goes bad pretty quickly. Case in point, a couple of weeks ago, my middle daughter Ryan woke up. I don't feel good, mommy. I can't go to school. I said, go back to bed, Ryan. I'll call the school nurse. I'll let her know you're not coming in. Now, Ryan, she's like, shit. Let's say 12. So I call the school nurse and I leave a message on the machine. Hello, this is Mrs. Hurley. Ryan doesn't feel well. She won't be in today. Thank you very much. 10 minutes later, the phone rings. Hello? Hello, Mrs. Hurley? Yeah, this is Mrs. Hurley. Mrs. Hurley, it's Nurse Kane from the West School. So what can I do for you, Nurse Kane? She said, I'm sorry Ryan doesn't feel well, but she doesn't go here. I said, really? Do you have any idea where she goes? Now, folks, the same long-suffering nurse who had to call me a few years earlier for a similar situation. At the time, my youngest son, Brendan, had just turned 5 years old, and he was very excited because he was the baby of the house, and he was going to kindergarten, and he was now officially a big boy. Big boy. 24 hours, 7 days a week. Mama, mama, big boy. Gonna make my lunch for school today, mama. Gonna make my lunch for school because I go to school and I can make my own lunch, and I'm gonna do it because I'm big and I'm 5, and I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna make my own lunch for school today, mama. Today's the day. I said, you are a fucking nag. I said, you want to make your own lunch, hot shot? Knock yourself out. And I fired up a parliament and I went back to bed. 3 hours later, the phone rings. Hello? Hello, Mrs. Hurley? Yeah, this is Mrs. Hurley. Mrs. Hurley, it's Nurse Kane from the West School. Goody, this bitch. What can I do for you, Nurse Kane? Should you have to come to the school, Mrs. Hurley? You have to pick up Brendan, his lunchbox, immediately. I said, why? She said, unfortunately, Brendan packed a leftover box of Kung Pao chicken and 2 wine coolers. Ooh, just celebrated my 35th wedding anniversary, you guys. 35 years married. Thank you. So nice, so nice. You applaud because you don't know him. 35 years married to my high school sweetheart, Jimmy Hurley. I'll give you guys a day in the life of that shit show. We get married, we start having the kids. We have a girl, another girl, another girl. Three girls in a row, bing, bang, boom. Jimmy Hurley goes in a full-fledged panic because he's the only son in the Hurley family. All right, it's him and his four douchebag sisters. Oh, they're miserable. We had a big family cookout last summer. The four of them were sitting together all lined up on a picnic bench. I said to Jimmy, look at that. A clam roll. Now, he's panicked. Because if we don't have a son, the Hurley name will end, right? There'll be no heir to the Hurley fortune. So I take a long introspective look at my very sad life. I got three kids in diapers, two badass pair of stretchy pants. Jimmy and I share a minivan. I don't think my life's gonna suck anymore. Do you folks? I don't think so. You know what? I got the time. I'll take them for the team. I'll spit another one out. I'll see what we got. Now, a couple weeks into this awesome adventure, Jimmy Hurley comes home from work. Christine, bad news. I said, what bad news? He said, bad news for you and me, Christine. You and I are never gonna have a son. Not gonna happen. Not in the cards for us. Me and the guys at work, we discussed it all day, figured it out. I said, really, Jimmy Hurley? And what were you and the other Mensa candidates at work discussing today to make you come to such a conclusion? He said, Christine, my sperm is so powerful. All that's going to happen here is I will continually blow the balls off of all of your eggs. You guys need a minute.
The Bill of Rights was the big thing. Freedom of speech. Because nobody had freedom of speech in the world. No, you can boo the president. Boo! Nobody says anything. You could never boo the king. Nobody booed the king. The king's coming by. Boo! Six archers be like, I got him. Don't worry, I got the son of a bitch. This guy's suicidal, you know? Yeah, you could say whatever. Because the founding fathers, the brilliant ones, were brilliant. They're like every other country, they're like, don't let the people speak. Who knows what'll happen? That's how revolutions happen. That's how uprisings happen. These founding fathers were like, let them speak. Go ahead. You want to say something? Go ahead, man. Whatever you want. The guy's like, okay, we think it's bullshit what's going on. Okay, duly noted. Thank you very much. See, wasn't it interesting what he just said? See, I told you they got nothing. Don't worry about it, you know. Because just because you can speak doesn't mean you can change anything. And you can speak in this. I think we've proven nothing, if not that everybody can say whatever they want. You can even yell fire in a crowded movie theater and some lawyer will take the case. But that doesn't mean we speak freely. You can get fired from your job. You can get, you know, castigated, censored, boycotted, shunned by your community. People go, but the government doesn't do it. No, but the tyranny of the mob does it. You know, depending on who you are and what you say and what's considered offensive in different time. Different time periods, different things are offensive. If I was up here 60 years ago, every ethnic joke, people like, ah, ha, ha, hilarious. But if I cursed once, every guy would be waiting for me outside because the wife was there and try to drop me with a straight right hand. Which is all anyone threw in those days, the straight right. Because you cursed in front of the little woman. But now cursing, everybody curse. Little kids curse. Little kids, you go to Chuck E. Cheese, the kid's like, ah, it's fucking Chuck E. Cheese. He's telling the other kids, yeah, but it's my birthday. It's just a pizza. Am I right or wrong? Yeah, you said it. Fucking, yeah. But if you even mention ethnicity, people feel a little bit, your stomach feels tense. If you even mention someone's ethnicity, everyone's like, wow, wow. If I told you a true story, this Mexican guy came up to me, ho, whoa. Why does this guy have to be Mexican in your true story? I don't understand. You know, you have to speak in the most idealized, pasteurized, homogenized, colorblind at all. You know, you feel, if you notice, you're like, this guy comes up to me, could have been Mexican, I don't know, I don't care. I shouldn't have a Central America Hispanic Latino. It was a man, all right? Wait a minute. That was sexist. I don't know if it was a man. Could have been a woman. It could have been LGBT. I don't know. I mean, it was a life form came up to me. You know what? Hold on. I'd like to start the story by apologizing for, obviously, I'm coming from a place of Western entitled, unconscious, paternalistic fear of the other, and you know, non-heteronormative, gender specific. I'd like to start by saying that this apology has been a learning experience for me and a, you know, a teachable moment. And I think I'm gonna do some soul searching and hopefully down the line, I can start a nonprofit for other people that are telling stories, you know. And sure, you applaud, but half the country, when you tell that apology, groveling, they're like, now you're starting to understand. You're really starting to understand how to feel and think and talk. That's right. That's very good. You know, that's how people, you know, words. We're offended by words in this country, which means we're a success. We're a total success. When you're offended by language, that means you're success. A lot of other countries, it still comes down to people coming in. I can't take the intolerance anymore, they tell us. What happened? The other religion came and burned down my village. I know what you mean. I heard some inflammatory rhetoric recently. And they're like, but what does it mean, inflammatory rhetoric? That means like flames, like what they literally did to your village. That's what they figuratively did to my sense of, it was oppressive speech. If you know what I'm trying to say by that, it was kind of supremacist, oppressive by its very nature. It's hard to explain. Words.
I'll tell you this, right? This is one of the things that was on my performance review. And you can tell me if I'm being a bit of a jerk. Well, let me tell you the story. Just don't look at me and go, probably. I'm gonna side with her and I don't even hear your story yet, right? I was at the beach recently with my wife, right? And I'm lucky she went with me because without her, I wouldn't have known where to lay the towel. The plan I was going with was not to get it wet, but I guess it went deeper into thought and she really pre-thought the whole thing. Anyway, so here's the deal. We're walking, right? And as we're walking, an older couple is walking towards us. And by older, I mean they were each about 140 years old, okay? And they're holding hands and my wife goes, why can't we be more like that couple? They're holding hands. I'm like, look at them, they're old. They're worried a wave's gonna come in and grab one of them. You take that guy out to sea. I'm strong enough to swim against the current if I get pulled under. It's 120 degrees. Why wanna be with your sweaty ass walking down the thing? Hold on, that's not the story. Here's the story. As we're walking, my wife says, it's a nice day. And I don't say anything. And then she says it one more time. It's a nice day, and I don't say anything. And here's where the argument starts. She freaks out. She goes, I am so sick of not getting a response from you. What, ladies clapping? You're obviously having this problem at home, are you? Well, here's the deal, and this is where I don't want to sound like a jerk, ladies, but here's the deal. It's a nice day is a statement. I'm not obligated to respond to a statement. Say anything. That's a random fact thrown out there. She said it was a nice day. What am I supposed to do? Talk to her like she's five? Yeah, it is a nice day, isn't it? Supposed to talk to her like I'm Dora or Diego? No. Can you help me find baby Jaguar? Moo, moo, moo. Come on, vamanos. I don't have to respond to it's a nice day. If I'm walking down the beach, however, there's some exceptions, and I see a killer whale come out of the water and eat a cliff diver, and she says, that whale ate that cliff diver, then I'd be like, fuck yeah, that thing ate that. Holy crap, that was the coolest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I'd probably have lunch with her eating, going, hey, do you want to talk about that whale some more? Because I don't know if I'm done talking about that. Probably wake her up in the middle of the night.
Psst. Psst. Hey, are you dreaming about that whale?
My wife likes to fight in public. That's her little move. And I'm starting to know. And she's like, hey, let's go to the county fair. Nope, there's people there. You want to argue with me? Why would you want to go to the county fair unless you're going to want to bring up a fight with me? So she likes to freak out in public because I think other women come up behind me and look at her and are like, right? And one time she was kind of freaking out and I heard this young guy go, I wouldn't put up with that bullshit. Ha ha, young guys, you don't even know. But you know what? I am glad my wife freaks out at me, because here's the deal. She freaks out. When her head hits the pillow, she yelled at me for everything that day. And the next day, I'll piss her off on a whole bunch of new shit. Fellas, if you're with a woman now that you've never seen freak out, let me tell you something. The quiet ones are the ones that kill you when you're sleeping. There has been a pillow over your head one or two nights, and luckily she talked herself out of it. And if you don't believe me, watch the news. Every couple months, it's the same weird story. It's the same husband-wife team go on a cruise, only the wife comes back. That happens a lot. It's always the same wife being interviewed on CNN. I don't know what happened. We were just playing shuffleboard, and he never came back to the cabin.
God, it's so nice to be back home. I was all over the place. I was in Jamaica. I flew Air Jamaica. That's like a Bob Marley tour bus in the sky. The captain gets on Air Jamaica like,
this is your captain speaking. Don't look at me, man. Don't look at me. I can't do it now. I'll call you back.
Everybody's stoned in Jamaica. Everybody. The customs agent. I'm like, you need to stamp my passport?
No. I'll just draw a bird. Silly white boy. Look, it flies.
It's the strongest coffee I've ever had in my life down there. That Jamaican Blue Mountain coffee. I had to drink that on the toilet. Because there's just no time. That stuff hits my little Caucasian digestive system. And the little man that controls the valve is in a hazmat suit. He's like, dump it all. Just dump it. This is not a drill. Emergency blow. Watch your shoes. And they know, the Jamaicans know.
Look, the white people had the coffee. Look at the way they're running. Look at it.
It's not funny, man. I was all over the place. I was in Venice. Venice is beautiful, man. Has anybody been to Venice? Yeah. Gorgeous, isn't it? Oh. That's like old world romance. Guys, if you can't get laid in Venice, turn your balls in at the nearest drop box. You grab a girl, you get in the gondolas, they got the Italian guys singing to you, and these are real Italian guys. Not like the guys in my neighborhood, like, hey, get the broad, get in the boat, come here. Don't be a pussy, this is beautiful shit we got over here. These are the real Italian guys.
Che fa, Lucia? Astro la gente, amore. Go ahead, I don't look.
I went to Rome, saw the Vatican. You ever see the Vatican? Yeah. It's tacky. it's overdone. It's like Graceland with Jesus. It's too much. Thank you for laughing. My mother hates that joke. I did that on TV about 3 months ago. She's still not talking to me. She hands the phone to my father when I call up now. Ring. Hello. Hi, Ma. Did you see Letterman? Joe, it's him. Mm-mm. My mother's a hardcore Catholic. She has an oscillating Jesus fan in the living room.
I'm dead. Your fault.
That's the symbol of the Catholic religion. Jesus hanging on a cross and he died for your sins. They told me that when I was a little boy. Like, Jesus died for you, Adam.
Oh.
What have I done?
Although I'm impressed, though. I'm impressed, ladies, with the amount of information you can throw in a story. It's impressive. But where I am as impressed, the amount of info you put in a story, ladies, you are equally surprised the fact that one man can speak to another man and get little to no information. That's why your guy can come back from a weekend with a bunch of guys and go, hey, Steve's getting it divorced. Really? Why? I don't know. What, you didn't ask him? Why the hell would I ask him? The guy says he's getting a divorce. That's all I need to know. But why are they getting a divorce? I don't know. They don't like each other. Why do people get divorces? Why do I gotta... To show how much I don't speak to people, I just went to my high school reunion, right? Hadn't seen these guys in a bazillion years. Walked up, went to one of my best friends in high school, went over there and went, hey, what's up? He goes, nothing. What's up with you? Nothing. Caught up. Not a day passed between us. My wife goes, what's he do for a living? Are you guys going to see each other again? Is he married? Does he have kids? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not a private investigator. Here's a little trick you ladies can do. You want your guy to listen to you to the very end of your riveting story? Do what they do on the news. Ever watch like Entertainment Tonight or Access Hollywood? All those shows do is plug the next story. Right, they tease you. They're like, up next, you won't believe what's going to happen. You're going to want to stay and watch. Blah, blah. And then you stay and watch, and then that story sucks. But the next story, like, oh, the last story, eh. Next one, wow, right? Or on the news, they always have that teaser story. That's how you ladies need to talk to your guy. First thing out of your mouth has to be something really interesting. You have to say something like, hey, you know one of the girls I work with totally wants to sleep with you. But first, what should I bring to the picnic? Potato salad or dinner salad? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, no, something comes in a bowl. Anyway, you're talking about a girl or something like that? I used to think this, right? When I got married, you know, everyone gets a divorce and I don't want to deal with the big drama and stuff like that. But now that I've been married for a little bit, I realize this, that it's not one big thing that maybe separates a marriage. It's that little thing. That little thing that that person did the first night you met them. And you kind of pushed it down, but then they do it. I'll tell you right now, I hope it never happens, but here's the exact reason why I would get a divorce from my wife. Why we're driving, and my elbow is on the center console, and she opens it without asking me. All you gotta do is say, I need to get in there. Just don't swing that shit open. Oh yeah, okay, there's two. When I'm trying to parallel park as I'm coming in at the last moment, don't go, you take the focus off what I'm gonna do and I'm gonna end up hitting something. Well, stop it. Are you guys married? Let me ask you this, and I'll ask you this in a little bit. I want to ask you what your last argument was. But before you say anything, I have to tell you this. I was doing a show, right? And I asked that every show because I get some good answers. I asked this married couple, front row. I said, hey, what was the last argument you got in? And the woman looked at me, and people, you think I want some lighthearted answer, right? I don't want to go deep in your real relationship, right? The woman goes, really? Huh, our last argument? Why don't you ask him? So now after 20-some years of stand-up comedy experience, my first thought was, no, not gonna ask him. Not gonna mention it to him at all, right?
Some damn hood rats, boy, they don't give a damn. They be getting into it over dumb shit. That was like the longest ride ever downtown, you know what I mean? So you got the old dude, he got off the bus with his little lunch pail. All emotional, I just saw him standing there looking at the bus. Now I'm on there alone, right? You know what I mean? And he's like, this is funny, like hood rat conversations always start with something, it's none of your business. You don't wanna hear some of that shit they saying. Cause they be bragging about shit that don't even make sense about bragging about. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even close to prime yet. You already talking about prime. You ain't talking about graduating. You ain't talking about college. And it's all the different types, you know what I mean? They all got the fucking liquid leggings on, the leather ones. Like the Nike hood rat heel shoe, gym shoe shit. All they coats look a little dusty and shit, but fuck it. They just like the fat one, the regular built one. And the one that's in between both, you know what I mean? Like. And you sit there about your business shit. You hear this dumb shit, it's so annoying, cause I'm a grown-up. I wanna hear you, I wanna hear real, like talk about something for real. Like you back there like, it is what it is, it's about to motherfucking go down. I'm about to be at prom, about to shut they ass down. I'm about to kill they ass. New micros, new nail. They gonna be sick as hell, like damn, Lisa thick than a motherfucker. Hell yeah, they gonna be like, Lisa thick as hell. And the fat one, she don't believe in herself, so she co-signed whatever she say. She ain't even got a date for prom. I don't care if nobody don't ask me as long as you live in life. I'm a living life. You know, they start doing all these songs. You know what's messed up though? This is what it is with them. I ain't gonna lie. Like these kids is, you know, they going through it. They gotta grow up too fast. And a lot of it ain't their fault. You know, you ask to do shit before you supposed to. You do, you be a little crazy. Like my kids ain't gonna know shit about life until they 16, 17. Like, cause I want them to be kids. I don't want them to know shit too fast. But nowadays it's hard not to do that shit. You know what I mean? And then like the teachers is different now too. Like teachers are too fucking cool. Some of y'all like look too good now. Like, I don't remember fine teachers. Like now, like the teachers are fine as hell. Like I got friends as teachers and they bad. I'm like, I don't remember this shit. I remember teachers used to be like the weirdest people you ever saw. Look at all these weird motherfuckers. I saw a nigga named Mr. Milton with a chest hair showing. I don't have that shit no more. These new teachers is fucking for real. They like regular people. Our teachers was weirdos when I was growing up. Like I had a teacher at Crane, man. His name was Mr. Humphrey. Crazy. This dude didn't care. He was insane. He was a cross between Little Richard and a thug. And he used to use this one big word. To this day, I don't understand what he meant. He used to walk out there, how y'all doing? All you little boys and little girls, stop making all that residuous noise. What the fuck is residuous? Residuous noise! All you little bitty boys and little bitty girls. He one of them old school teachers that used to roast you. Now these teachers don't roast you, you know what I mean? Them old teachers used to roast the shit out of your ass. And you don't even have to do nothing. Like, I mean, one time my friend raised his hand, hey, I got a question. No, you don't have a question, because you're a lie and your breath stank. You are a lie and your breath stank. What are the resilient breath stanking? Why didn't you brush your teeth, little boy? Why didn't you brush your teeth? This is only first period. We haven't even had lunch yet. We haven't even had lunch yet. With all that residuous hellaciousness. What the heck is hellaciousness?
If you could have any superpower, what superpower would you have? Let's start with this guy right here, right there. What superpower would you have? Any superpower? Invisibility? You don't, and I see you, so. Invisibility is a good answer until you realize how loud you breathe. Like, then you're like, oh, I'm not actually that, I'm just creepy. What about you? What superpower? Any superpower? You can't use invisibility. He already took it. You want to be able to read minds? Have you seen what people are okay with saying out loud on the internet? You want to know what they're holding back? All right, let's go with the... Sir, what about you? You would be able to fly. That's a good one, but you got to be specific in case it's like monkey paw rules. You want to fly like Superman so you can go fast and get where you're going. You don't want to fly like a hot air balloon and just be like, ugh, shit. I don't know where I'm going to land. So, what about you, sir? What's superpower? Being able to think on his feet. Okay. We'll go with you, and this will be, yeah.
Immune to death.
Immune to death. You want to keep this shit going? Death's the sweet release, baby. Just want to keep on living. All right, well, good. You must have a good life. All right, here's my superpower. If I could have any superpower, my superpower would be to pass sensible gun control legislation, but these are fantasies. And the key to that phrase is sensible gun control legislation. I'm not trying to take everybody's gun. I'm trying to get the guns out of the hands of the people that shouldn't have them. Here's a little rule I'd put in place. If your name's Malachi, no gun. Any of those old biblical names, you don't get a gun, all right? If you have a bowl haircut, no gun. Right? If you leave a Facebook comment and then run out of room in that comment and have to start a new comment, no gun. How many lives did I just save with those three rules? Yeah. And because that's a gun control joke, there's always a guy after the show that comes up to me and he's like, hey, let me tell you about the Second Amendment. I'm like, okay. Let's do this. And then I like to stir the pot a little bit, and I'll ask him how he feels about Colin Kaepernick kneeling during the national anthem. And guess what? Guys that are really into guns and are really mad about Colin Kaepernick kneeling during the national anthem, if you were to make that a Venn diagram, it'd be a circle. And if you don't know what a Venn diagram is, sit this one out. I got more dick jokes coming up. You're gonna love them. Because here's the thing. If you love the national anthem that much and guns that much, I know that you're not safe with your gun. If we're in a firefight, all I gotta do is start singing the national anthem, and you gotta stand there like a dildo with your hand over your heart. And I could stab you to death with a spoon. Like, now let's talk about spoon control, because I've done a lot more damage to my body with spoons than guns.
Oh, God. I got dragged to a club a little while ago. Anybody here over 35? You go to a club? Yeah! Oh, that's fun, isn't it? Go to a club. Just walk in there, you feel so creepy. You feel like you're a Chuck E. Cheese. You're like, oh, whoops. Oopsie. Oh my God, I went to a club a little while ago and I realized I have dad brain. I don't have kids. Why do I have dad brain? You know what I mean? You know what dad brain? Like I see these young girls in their miniskirts. I used to be like, oh, she's so hot. And now I'm like, she's gonna freeze to death. You know? I'm not even nervous talking to these young girls anymore. Cause I'm just like, oh, just keep some sweatpants in the trunk of your car. They don't weigh anything, so it won't affect your gas mileage. I know they're hot. I still am attracted to them, but now I'm like, oh, I want to take that girl home and fix her bike. Like, I have weird... I don't want to creep out these young kids. So what do? You just stand in the corner, right, with your drink? I wouldn't want to look creepy. I'll just... Soon, my pretties. There's no dignity in getting older at all. Like, I had to go across the dance floor to get another beer. I ran out of beer. And I got caught on the dance floor. because the popular song came on. All these chicks, just walls of chicks, right? And I'm sneaking through, just trying not to creep them out. I'm just looking for my daughter. Like I'm lying or saying anything. No. But then I hit a wall of chicks. Like now I'm like in a wall, like nobody can move. Ooh, ooh. And then I look up, some asshole had put an oscillating fan in the ceiling. Yeah, so it comes around, I'm like, ooh. Hits my hair, wah! Straight up and down. My arms, I can't even grab it, right? I'm just, All I can do is look up at the mirror and all it's like a sea of hot chicks and just dorsal fin on pervert shark. Just, dang it, dang it, dang it, dang it, dang it. Oh, God. It's so bad for your self-esteem when you get close to a young girl and she covers her drink and walks away. That really feels horrible. But I was there. I got dragged there by my opener. I go back. I got my beer, finally. Go back to the table. He's not there. He's gone now. Just the girl he's talking to, right? And she's like 23 years old. And I have nothing in common with this chick. I don't know what to say to her. She goes, this is a pretty cool club, huh? And what did I think was interesting? I go, you know, this club used to be a bank. Oh, yeah. But the tellers were over there and the vault was over there. And before it was a bank, it was all trees. For the West had yet to be settled. If you have somebody, stay. Stay in the relationship. I don't care if you hate the person. Just ride it out. What do you got, 30 years left? Don't be a hero. You don't even get a girlfriend anymore. You just get a pen pal. That's it. A little ferret stenographer. Pick the phone up. Can we just talk? We evolved to talk. Just speak English. Why did technology get better and then we went back to telegrams? Why are we sending telegrams to each other? That girl sends you emojis. Emojis! Now we're back to hieroglyphics. Now we're farther back in time. Great. Why don't you use your vape pen to send me a smoke signal or some shit? I was on Tinder for a while, and I realized, oh, you're 39. John, you're on Tinder. It's like a human clearance rack at this point. It's a lot of irregulars. Everybody's got their pictures. Everybody's got their pictures, right? I saw a girl's Tinder one time, or what guys put as their pictures. They're always carrying a fish, holding a fish. Like, how fucking archaic is that? I got a fish. Are you hungry? I could catch more fish. Girl, what's a girl always doing in her pictures? She's always on vacation.
I love to travel. Bring your fish, we'll go traveling.
She's always touching the top of the Eiffel Tower, too. You chicks keep taking that damn picture, and it sucks. It's not funny. Nobody believes you're that tall. We know it's camera tricks. And if it does fool a guy, you don't want to date that guy, because he's an idiot.
I would date this girl, but she's fucking massive. She's so big. I'm gonna need more fish.
Black parents don't put no leash on their child. You know why? Because black parents don't have to put a leash on their child. Black parents put a mental leash on their child. The mental leash sweats way further than a piece of rope. And the mental leash never leaves. You know what the mental leash is? This is the mental leash. Your mother says something to you, she tell you that shit one time. And she stares at you for about 5 seconds, so you know she mean that shit. You going outside to play with your friends, your mother like, don't go past that fire hydrant. And she go in the house, don't even think about your ass. And you know, don't go past that fire hydrant. You get close to the fire hydrant, you get nervous. You're like, aha, y'all can't catch me. Oh, shit. Mental leash. And it never leaves you. Every black person in here knows what I'm talking about. The mental leash never leaves you. You ready? Yeah. Black people, be in the house. Look at that. Look at that. Y'all 40, 50 years old still before the streetlights come on. Every black person in here traumatized like a motherfucker before the streetlights come on. Because the mental lease never leaves you. Your mother teaches it to you, you teach it to your kids, they teach it to their kids. The mental leash, have your black ass in this house before the streetlights come on. That should be one of the black Ten Commandments. If they had a black Ten Commandments, that would be like number three. Thou shalt haveth thy black ass. Inciteth thou house before thou streetlights cometh on. From the book of Nicolaitans. So I remember them days. Trying to go outside to play. My mother's like, have your ass in the house before them streetlights come on. You're like, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Now, we all not from the same place, but we from the same place. So y'all know streetlights is fucked up. Streetlights don't go off on. Streetlights on a dimmer. So you never know when to leave. You're like, yes. Me and my brothers outside playing, we gotta play and watch the light. We look up first time, lights right here, we got time. Play, look up again, lights right here, we got time. Play, look up again, lights right here, I'm like, nigga. My brother like, few more minutes, okay, we play, we look up, lights on. Oh shit. Get to the house. My mother coming down the stairs with that belt, I told these motherfucking kids. We run down, she crying already. My mother in the doorway, got a slide past her like it's home plate. Ooh. I make it in first, look back to my brother, safe. My brother behind me, ooh. My slow brother halfway down the block, we like, Ricky.
I'm actually married. This is my proof of purchase. Thank you. I don't know if this is a symptom of marriage, but ever since I've done it, I'm paranoid as hell. And what I mean by that is I look around, I see you ladies, you're all beautiful. I don't trust any of you. I feel like you're all working for my wife, trying to set me up. I don't trust, you want an Instagram? No, thank you, get away from me. Last week I was at a restaurant, the waitress came up to me, she's like, would you like to see our specials? Like, you keep your specials to yourself. Happily married, send over a dude. The guy came over, he was like, welcome to restaurant 787. I was like, oh, damn. I also don't trust her. I'll explain. I've been married 2 years. Do we have married people here tonight? Married? Tell me y'all. Married? Married? How long? 51 years. Good for you. Yeah. Yeah. Let me ask you, sir. At what point does she fart in front of you? Don't look at her. Look at me. Be a man. Look at me. Don't look. Right here. I'll give you a ride home. Don't look at her. 24 years? That's creepy. Like, 2 years, I haven't heard her smell the thing. It makes me nervous. I feel like she's building up like Krakatoa. And one day just gonna explode all over the walls. Ladies, I don't know why you do this. Just let it out in front of us. We will love you so much more. If you haven't done it yet, this is what you do. Ready? Next time you're at home with your man and you're watching TV and he gets up to go get a sandwich or to the bathroom or something and he comes back into the room, just go, baby, baby, make a gun and fart shoot him real quick. Just whack. He's not even gonna be mad. He's gonna laugh hysterically. And if he loves you, he's gonna shoot you right back. He went, he'll be like, point, there we go, soulmates, I knew it. I'm gonna put a ring on it. I do in front of her, every guy does. I still do the silent ones though, because I respect her. Because guys know with the silent ones, you have a 50-50 shot, it's not gonna smell. I'm not saying it's foolproof, but those are good odds. I got caught the other day. We were driving. I let a silent one out. I was like, oh, it's not going to be bad. And then I smelled it. I was like, oh, divorce. And this is why I got caught. We were driving. We were in the middle of nowhere. I had nothing to blame it on. Like, you know when you're driving, fellas, you let one out. She's like, what's that smell? Like, oh, that factory right there. That's, I think that's a poop factory. That's, I had nothing. I panicked. This is how I thought I was going to fix it. Guys, this does not work. I tried to smell it all before she smelled it. I was just like, uh-oh. She was like, what do you do? I was like, my allergies. She was like, your allergies smell like diarrhea. Get that checked out. That's...
The Pope came to New York. Did you see him? He's cute, isn't he? German Pope. Yeah, he's cute, but he's got that look in his eye, you know. I can't explain it. It's just kind of like... You know, you don't know what he's thinking. Like, it took Poland in 27 days. He's gonna snap any minute, man. Especially like when it comes to reform or something. Goes, there will be no changes. There will be no women priests. Boys will not kiss boys. And nobody wears a condom. Jesus loves you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen! Nobody saw that? Hogan, get the car. God's gonna get us all killed. Terrorists convince thousands of people to kill themselves in the name of God. I can't convince two of my friends to help me move. And I think human arrogance will be the demise of civilization. Look, if you think God is talking to you, and you understand God, and God needs you to kill somebody else for him, if that's what you truly feel, just sit down till that feeling goes away. Because I'm fairly certain if God wants somebody dead, that guy is dead, okay? He don't need you. He's got the key to the lightning cabinet, so just settle down, you arrogant, finite, carbon-based life form. Really hardcore religious people that can't accept someone else's nonviolent code of conduct are dangerous to society, and they smell fucking awful. I don't know what the correlation is. The closer people think they get to God, the further away from soap and water they have to be. It doesn't matter what religion it is. I sat next to a Hasidic Jew on a plane. I tried to roll down the window at 30,000. Itzhak, are you kidding me? Can't you pray and bathe at the same time? I met a Maharishi from India. He smelled like curried shit. It was so bad, my nose spoke. My nose actually said, what is that? Tell the eyes to find a way out and get the feet moving. Namas go. I met a hippie chick from Berkeley. She stuck. I still slept with her, but she's... Yeah, I was with a girl for 5 years, and we didn't make it. We never married. Marriage was a woman's idea. I figured that out. Yeah, there was no caveman somewhere like, me only have sex with you. No workout, take half my stuff. Thank you. And why my impression of a caveman just sounded like an American Indian, I don't know. It did, didn't it? White man lied to us. We opened casino.